Good morning, every one of you. I'm so sorry just now for the hiccups. Well, when an old dinosaur tries to learn new technology, this is almost the result. Anyway, we'll make an effort, and we hope that there will be no more hiccups after this. Now, this morning, I have to deal with a topic given to me called Message of Love, but I've changed that to Valentine Love versus Divine Love, because today the world is in love. In fact, every part of the world, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is thinking of love. Love, L-O-V-E, to one extent or the other. And because today is Valentine's Day, and the world is in love. Well, messages will soon be tossed around. Even just now, when I was waiting for you all to come in and I to go in, I was receiving messages from all over. Happy Valentine's Day. February the 14th is a day to remember for love, says the world. Right. Love is a word which is common today, and it is used today very often, so much that it is overused, misused, and abused. Overused because we find that old and young involved in Valentine's Day just use it, love, love. Wonder whether they wonder, they really know the meaning of it. So they misuse it in many ways. And then the worst thing is to abuse it. Love, the Bible warns, can lead to a lust. And this is what we need to be careful. It can lead to lust. And lust is something, of course, that is very, very bad. And the Bible warns us about lust. The Bible says, in very clear words, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, very often, when we talk of love in the world, what is meant is more of lust than love. Lust is something that you desire for yourself. Love is something that you desire to give to the other person. And very often we find that there are people who say love, who mention love, and who use the word love, but they actually mean lust. More about that as we go on. Because this lust, if we allow it to develop, the Bible says, it, when it's conceived, will bring forth sin. And that's what is happening today. We find that in the world today, many people call love. They love this, they love that person, and so on. But ultimately, we find that this love, so-called, leads on to sin, to lust. And that lust leads on to a greater desire of the flesh to possess the other person or the other object, so much so that you are prepared to destroy that person in order to satisfy that lust. This we know in the raping that is going on today in the world, in the many murders that are manifest in the whole world today. Now, that started with lust. Lust that was conceived, and it led on to sin, sin to death. So, this is the love that Valentine is talking about and which we need to be careful. Of course, there are some good points about Valentine, which we shall also discuss later on. But, love being used so often, it has many meanings. Therefore, we need to understand more about this love, what it is. Now, the Greek has been well known for their love affairs, their passion for love. And therefore, we need to go to the Greek for some definitions of love. For example, while English has only one single word for love, Greek has four, and the philosophers in Greek, they have seven references to love. There is eros, where we have got the word erotic, and that is sexual passion, sexual love, which we do not want to have because it ultimately leads to the desire to please oneself at the expense of another person. And we do not bother whether that person likes it or not. We exert our influence on that person and we call it love. But actually, it is lust. And that's why pornography is so popular today. There is the other Greek word, storge. It is a good word. It is a love for the family members. You love, and the brother loves the sister loves the brother. But both these words, eros and storge, are not found in the Bible. Instead, a related word in Romans 1:31, where we read of natural affection or kindly affection in 12:10 of Romans. There is a third word which is familiar and which is in the Bible, and is phileo. Now, phileo is also something like storge, but is of a higher level. It not only regards the other person mutually and placing him in high regard, but it is more tender and is more emotional. And it is the love of the brother for the sister, perhaps the father for the children, and the children for the father. It is a good love to have, phileo. There is agape. This is the very peak of all loves, if we may say. It is sacrificial love. It is a love that demands sacrifice to the extent that the sacrifice may even lead to the sacrifice of a person in death to acquire the other person, to show the other person how loving this person is to the other person. This is agape love. This is divine love, which we are going to talk about afterwards. Divine love, the love of God. It is love at its highest point. Then there is philosophia. Now, we won't need to talk about that. It is just the love of self. I all the time. And the satisfaction of the I. Then there's xenia. This is a good word in a way. It shows love to all those who come to our house. We need to show hospitality. We need to love the guests. And so we come on to the last one, pragma, which is a very pragmatic love. I love you, you love me, and that's all, pragmatically. It is bonded in love, just as I say to you, I love you, you love me, but that's all, that's as far as we go. And we just love one another. Well, here are the seven ideas of love in Greek and Greek philosophy. So what is love? What is love? 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If we want to know love, we must know God, because we cannot love without God. For he that loveth not knoweth not God, God is love. But on the other hand, when we love, it does not mean that we know God. And this is something that we must be very clear from the very beginning. That just because we love does not mean that we know God. But when we know God, we need to love. We ought to love because God is there. And love is in us to be manifested because of the God who is in us. But when we love without God, it does not mean that God is there. It is just love, perhaps Valentine love, as we shall see. we talk of Valentine love. What actually is Valentine love? It is attributed to St. Valentine, and St. Valentine's Day today is 14th of February. And, well, I'm not going to the history of Valentine's Day because it is rather long. So I leave you to read about it in Wikipedia. Google for it and you will know. But very briefly, its celebration, according to Wikipedia, falls on February the 14th, that is today. And the tradition of observing Valentine's Day is that people express their love for each other. They send Valentine cards, candy, often anonymously. And it is very often conveyed to us in the form of flowers. And today, I have received also a number of gifts for Valentine's Day. Now, so in some cases, flowers. I have yet to receive flowers. I have not received flowers, but I have received a number of things today. I have received a special cake, Valentine's Day cake. It is special because this cake is actually a full cheese cake. It is called Brusk Burned Cheese Cake. It is a cake that I've never tasted before, very rich, full of cheese, and burnt. And I've been asked to cut this cake with a candle on top of it. Why, I do not know. Perhaps it's Valentine's Day, so let it be. I did as I was told in order to enjoy the cake. So I enjoyed that cake very much, and I thank the dear sister who took all the trouble to burn that brass cheesecake for me, and she did not even have a chance to taste it. I was the only one to taste it, with my wife, of course. All right, so this Valentine's Day is a holiday named after two men. As far as I'm told, they were both Christians. They were martyred by the Roman cruel emperors. Right, that's all that I need to tell you about Valentine's Day, because I want to examine actually the question of love. Is this love, sending of Valentine cards, sending of flowers, of presents and cakes and chocolates and candies and so on, is this love? Is this what it is? Love? Well, let's look at it now from God's viewpoint. What actually is love? As it occurs in the Old Testament, is the word ahab. Now, in the Old Testament, it is very difficult to find out the definition, the meaning of this word ahab. It occurs so many times. In fact, it occurs 250 times. And it is used in so very many varied ways. It is used in a bad way. It is also used in a good way. It can be used for God's infinite affection for his people. And it also can be used for the person's carnal longing for drink and for food and so on. And so, if you want to take that word and define it as it is per se, it is going to be very difficult. So, you need to examine the object of that love. What actually is the crux of that love? Love what? Love what? Example. A man can love pleasure and wine and be poor, says Proverbs 21, verse 17. And we know, therefore, that word love is not used in a good sense. Likewise, it can refer to sexual lust, as Amnon had for his stepsister, Tamar. Amnon found his stepsister very beautiful, and he lured her to treat him as he pretended to be sick. And while doing so, he raped her. That would be lust. And therefore, we know that the word love, the word although is abhad, it's not a good word. Then it has the love for the father. Example in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2, where God told Abraham, take now your son, your only son, the son whom you love, and give him as a burnt offering for me. Now, that's a good word, but it is different from all the other words before. Then we have a husband loving his wife, as Elkanah loved his wife who could not bear him children, and he gave her, to compensate her, double portion of the inheritance. So that was a good word for love. And lastly, among many others, there is also the love that Jonathan gave to David and David to Jonathan. Then David loved Jonathan as brothers. Now that's another good word. And so we find that as we go through the list above and the others as well, we find that we cannot pinpoint the meaning of love as it is per se. But we can only know the meaning of this word ahad if we know the object of that love. What does that love refer? Love refers to. So, this is with regard to love in the Old Testament. Now, what about some illustrations? Now, J.D. Watson, in his book, A Hebrew Word for the Day, gives us two examples of the objects of love. Firstly, God's love for his people, and it's the word ahad. God loved Israel forever. Now, that is indeed a great word. And in spite of their small numbers, akin to this word love, that God loved Israel, is the word God of God's sovereign choice. Because we read, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you. That's ahad. The Lord loved them, and the Lord chose them. He sovereignly chose them of his own free will. It had nothing to do with Israel. It had nothing to do with the people. They were small. They were inadequate. They were weak. But God chose to love them, in spite of spiritual adultery. And even when Israel progressed in the history, they went away from the Lord. In spite of that, the Lord still loves them. Then said the Lord unto Hosea, go you, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love that the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and fragrance of wine. Israel had gone after gods. They had committed adultery. And God told Gomer, you also, like them, go after this woman who had committed adultery with another man. Go, take him to be your wife. To indicate that God, in spite of their adultery, people's adultery, would continue to love them. Now, this is the divine love. This is the divine love that I have set up to challenge Valentine love. That you will love the person at all costs and right through to infinity. You will not end. And in spite of their unfaithfulness, you will still love, God will still love them. Then, in return, God demands the same manner of love for him. He said to the people, just as I've loved you, now you should love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love the Lord, your God. And it's the same word, with all your heart. The heart, which is the only organ in you and in me to keep us alive, to make us alive and to keep us living. Now, it therefore means that you need to love God with all your whole being and personality. The soul is actually, in Hebrew, breath. When Adam was created, God breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul. And therefore, breath is in correspondence to our life. So long as we have breath, we live. And so long as we live, we must love God. That's what it means. And not only that, let me summarize this whole thing. If there is a heart in us, and the heart is the one, the organ that makes us alive, and if there is breath in us to make us breathe, to do our ordinary daily activities, as long as you can do this, love, God with all your heart, with all your soul, and as much as you can, with all the greatness that you can inspire in you to love Him. This is the love that we are talking about when we talk of divine love. Divine love, as far as God is concerned, divine love, as far as the love that has been sown in us to be expressed and manifested through us. Right. Now, when it comes to love in the New Testament, we find a lot of lessons to learn. I already said just now that the word is agape. Now, agape is sacrificial, self-emptying love. A love that indicates that the person must be ready to empty himself in order to love the other person. It is self-emptying, self-sacrificing, and God shows this example when He gave of Himself in the form of His only begotten Son, who gave His life for us. Well, this love that is that we discuss now is such that it has a tremendous intensity, so loved the world that it is a love that is also everlasting. Let's take an example later on when we shall consider in detail the standard text of love, divine love. But there is also the other word that I mentioned to just now, phileo. This is a love for the family, for brothers and sisters, for friends. It is a love that is at lower level, equal to equal, and with a love that bonds the two together. Therefore, his sisters, Lazarus, sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold him whom thou lovest is sick. While the Lord Jesus Christ would love us to the extent of sacrificing himself, then there would also be circumstances and instances when he would love us as his own brothers and own sisters and friends. For example, in 1627, we read, the Father himself loved because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God, says the Lord. Phileo is the love of a friend. And John chapter 15 and verse 15, we are told that I call you no more servants, but I call you friends. And the Lord also said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, I'm not ashamed to call you brethren. And this is a kind of love that the Lord expressed to us. So there is that sacrificial love where he will bring us into the family. And being in the family, he still loves us. And keep on remembering this, that no matter how difficult your circumstances are, no matter how bad they may be, the Lord still loves you. Even not as one who has emptied himself to sacrifice to die for you, but even as a brother or a sister who could sympathize with your predicament. This is the love that God shows to us, divine love. Now, let's see that compare and contrast the messages of Valentine love and divine love. Valentine love, today there will be a lot of messages being sent by email, by letters, by materials like cakes and gifts and so on, by cards. All these messages are just but superficial. Let me give you some examples. One said, I've always loved you. And when you love someone, you love the whole person just as he is or she is. That's very good. Love a person as he is. Don't change him for your sake. That's very good. But what happens when he changes and he's not up to your expectations? Do you still love him? Question. Second, the single most extraordinary thing I've ever done with my life is to fall in love with you. That's right. But what happens later on when that beauty is no more, when wrinkles come upon the face of the person you love, and when she cannot walk properly, and she stumbles, and she limps, will you still love her? You say, your most extraordinary thing that you do in your life is to love her. That's because at that time, she is still beautiful. But what about later? If you live to be 100, I want to live to be 100 minus one day so that I never have to live without you. Is this the kind of love? Please, the husband says to the wife, don't live long, don't leave this world earlier than I. Because if you leave earlier than I, even one day earlier, you leave me one day without you, and I'm alone, I can't do anything anymore, I'm helpless. So you need the one just to do something for you. Now, that is not divine love. Divine love means you to allow the wife to do what she loves to do. And if she has to go, let her go. So this is Valentine love. What about divine love? Now, you see the superiority and the supremacy of divine love over the superficiality of Valentine love. John 3:16, that famous verse, God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten son. More about that later on. Romans 8:5-8, God commended his love toward us in that world. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Third, Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Please note, God the Father loved us. God the Son loved us and died for us. God the Spirit shed abroad this victorious news in our lives to make us rejoice with him. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the whole of divinity is involved in that love for you and for me. Let me end with this final message of love from Valentine's Day. There were two people. Well, they had a fight. They were educated people. They must be, because they have an MA in English literature. And instead of fighting with one another physically, they use words, because they're so good in words. Both of them are MA in English literature. So, what does the wife say? The wife says, I wrote your name on sand. I got it washed. I wrote your name in air. It was blown away. Then I wrote your name on my heart. I got heart attack. Okay, husband, wouldn't that the wife outdo this? He said, God saw me hungry. He created me. He created something. I cannot see that. He saw me thirsty. He created Pepsi. He saw me in the dark. He created beauty. He saw me without problems. He created you. You have now become my problem. Oh, she won't give way. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, you should know what you are. And once you know what you are, mental hospital is not so far. She replied, the rain makes all things beautiful, the grass and the flowers too. If rain makes all the things beautiful, why doesn't rain fall on you? Wife says, roses are red, violets are blue. Monkeys like you should be kept in the zoo, are you? Right. The husband says, don't feel so angry. You will find me too. Not in the cage, but laughing at you. In the zoo, of course. Well, those are Valentine messages in humorous form. But never mind. We are not going to be involved in this. Let's go back to divine love. What is divine love? What should be the attitude between husband and wife? Husbands, love. And the word love there is agape. The sacrificial, self-emptying love that God showed for each one of us in sending his son to die for us. Husband, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And later on in that verse, in that text, we read, wives, submit yourself to the husbands. Right. Husbands are to love their wives to that extent. Agape love. Not even filial love. Agape love. To empty himself, to sacrifice himself to the extent that he would give himself for the wife. And no wonder the wife with such a husband will easily submit herself to the husband. And so we find that this will be so if you practice divine love. Now, my wife and I have been married for over 58 years already. And yes, I'm speaking to the saints at Bumper Gospel Hall. I think we are the only living couple with all these years of marriage. There may not be another one with living who have older, many more years of marriage than we do. The Lord has been kind. We did not know Valentine love, but we knew divine love. And we have grown on with the Lord to help us through day by day up to all these years, 58 years or so in the God's goodness. And that's why our marriage hymn was chosen as we sang to one another, "I've discovered the way of gladness. I've discovered the way of joy. I've discovered relief from sadness. It's a happiness without alloy. I've discovered the fount of blessing. I've discovered the living word. It was the greatest of all discoveries when I found Jesus my Lord. And when I found Jesus my Lord, I found my wife. My wife found me, and we have lived together with divine love all this world." So, divine love, yeah, supremacy and superiority. God is loving. He loved us to the extent that he gave his son for us. Now, I don't think I will have time to go on to the rest about this divine love. Actually, it is my purpose for the rest of this message to speak on John chapter 3, verse 16. How that divine love is made concrete in your life, in my life. But time does not allow me to do so. So I will just skip over very quickly. And then if you are interested, you can always go to my website and look at it. Okay? All right. I'll just skip through all this. And then I come on to the last part. John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him, whosoever would demand that he cast out no one. John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And believe in him would mean, that's divine love, to believe and to confess that he is Lord. Now, today, many people just believe as mental assent. Now, that is not belief. We are told in Romans 10:9 that if we shall confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Belief involves a consecration of life, a sacrifice of life, that confess him as Lord and then believe that he will be what he proved to be, that we will be prepared to obey all his precepts and to perform all that he told us to do, so that the words, the challenge come to us. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say unto you? Now, that is to believe. And those of us who have believed in him, if we have divine love, we must have believed him. We must believe his precepts, what he says, and we must obey his commands in performing them. And finally, let us end with this consolation. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember, just as heaven is for us eternally, hell is for those who are not, who do not know of that divine love. So, heaven we can even experience today, because we read in John chapter 10 and verse 9, that the Lord not only gives us abundant life, he gives us abundant life. The Lord does not only give us life, he gives us abundant life. So, that means, will Valentine love ever accomplish any of these things for us? The things that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. Will Valentine love ever accomplish this? I'm sure we'll all answer no. Only divine love can. Valentine love versus divine love. And surely, divine love will win. Finally, I conclude. The distinctiveness of divine love. Thus, divine love will defend us against any other charge that can be made. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now all these things are more than conquerors through him that loveth us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. This is divine love. And can you see how rich divine love is in contrast to Valentine love? Can Valentine love ever accomplish any of these things for us? So what have we dealt with? We have dealt with the different definitions of love in Greek. We dealt with the delineations of love. We dealt with the delineations of love as attributed to St. Valentine and St. Valentine's Day, as attested to in the divine word. And we saw the differences of love in its messages. Valentine love messages are superficial, whereas divine love messages are superior and supreme. And we saw the distinctiveness of divine love, that divine love defense against any charge that can be made to it. And so divine love challenge and commission is, Peter, lovest thou me more than this? And I finish with this question. So and so, do you love the Lord more than this? That's a divine love day to all. And with that, I finish. And thank you very much for listening. Those of you who would like to go into detail of what I have said in the notes, you can visit my website and you can find all of them there. The video, as well as, the PowerPoint, as well as the notes, all on my website if you just visit them. Thank you very much.